Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Come on, let's really worship the Lord one more time tonight. Y'all think He's here, His presence, His power? Lord, we love You. We worship You. We magnify You. We lift up holy hands without wrath, without doubting. We thank You that You're a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. Your word's forever settled in heaven. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You're faithful. You're here. You're steadfast. You are God. You never lie. And I thank You that You're moving in our young people's lives tonight, supernaturally. Lord, we thank You. We take one moment. Come on, just lift up a holy hand to heaven just for one moment. We thank You for all these young people in this room. Lord, we thank You for a covenant vow they're going to take and make. Lord, we thank You for a supernatural blessing to come upon their life. Come on, just begin to pray for your kids and your grandkids. Lord, we declare our kids are a holy generation. They're different than the world. They're marked. I pray that You mark them by the Spirit of God. You change them. You supernaturally rearrange their spirit. I declare they're never involved in drugs. They're never involved in sexual promiscuity. They're never involved in depression or suicide. Lord, I thank You that our kids, there's a hedge of protection around their life. I thank You that no evil will come near their dwelling. I thank You tonight that You're going to mark them. Lord, I believe that the presence of God, the supernatural, I declare the supernatural power and the presence of God flows into this room tonight. And I declare our young people will never be the same. They'll 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 never be the same. Come on, they'll never be the same. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray it and we believe it in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Just tell them you're lucky you got to sit by me tonight. They're lucky they got to sit by you. Amen. Huh? Turn to your other neighbor. Tell them you look like you've been working out. Just lie to them tonight. People think you can trust church folk all the time. Church folk will lie to you. Huh? Come on. But they're getting better, aren't they? They're getting better all the time. We're getting better. I'm getting better. Excited to be here. I fought a great war to get here. It took me 36 hours to get here due to storms and trouble around the nation and the airlines. I wouldn't miss this for anything. I'd come if I had to come on a hang glider tonight. I was going to see these kids. If I had to get kicked out of the American Airlines line, and I was getting here tonight. I'm excited. If you have a Bible on you, I want you to open it up. We're going to go to a text you probably heard me preach several times. I love it. We're talking about covenant to the young people. Everybody say covenant. Open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. Now I'm going to take you young people, and I'm going to show you. You're going to make a covenant vow to God tonight. I'm going to show you what a covenant is and show you the God of covenant, how He comes and He makes covenant with man. A covenant is the strongest deal. It's not signed with ink. It's not put together by attorneys who passed a bar. Covenant's put together by God Almighty. And it's a binding, legal, eternal, holy contract between two parties. Between two parties. And the God of the heavens and the earth, the God of the universe, has come and made covenant with man. Young people, God is in covenant with you. And He wants you to be in covenant with Him. Somebody say amen to that tonight. And God made a covenant with a man by the name of Abraham. You might have heard of Father Abraham. How many of y'all sang that song in Sunday school as a kid? Anybody go to the old school church? Father Abraham had many sons. Amen? Many sons had Father Abraham. Well, here's where Abraham got into his covenant. All right, it's in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And here's we'll start reading in verse 5. God takes Abraham out, He says this, takes him outside, starts showing him about the promise God had for him. Then He brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And He said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and He accounted it to him for righteousness. Then He said to them, I'm the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Everybody say, how shall I know? Come on, say it again. How shall I know? Tell you what's happening here. God promises Abraham something. He said, I'm going to take you and I'm going to multiply you. Hey, and this promise is ours, born again Christian. We're children of Abraham. We're heirs of this same promise. I'm a child of Abraham, and the blessing of Abraham is on my life. You are a child of Abraham, and the blessing of Abraham is on your life. Somebody say, I'm a child of Abraham, and I'm blessed like Abraham's blessed. So he takes him outside. He points up in the stars, and he says, listen, you're going to have so many kids. Your children are going to be like the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. And then he walks, and he says, I brought you to this land. And he shows him the land of Israel. And they're still fighting over that land right now. And God supernaturally brought them back to the land that he promised them. They were gone for forever, for years and years and years, centuries. And then God performed his promise that was prophesied, and he brought all the Jews back, and he gave them the land that he promised. They're on it right now. How many know our God's a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God? And this one man, Abraham's become a mighty nation. He's got kids all over the world. There are Jewish people all over the world. How many know when God makes a promise, he keeps it? Somebody say amen to that. It's not like a man that makes a promise and can't bring it to pass. When God promises you something, he does it. So he promises these things to Abraham, and God, the Bible says Abraham believes it, but then Abraham asks this question that looks a little crazy. He asks God, he says, God, I know you promised it, but now how shall I know that you're going to inherit it? How do I know you're really going to do what you said you're going to do? See, the reason he asked this question, because Abraham lived in the land of covenant. And you could promise somebody something during the days of Abraham, but it did not count until a covenant was cut. And whenever Abraham says, how do I know you'll do what you said? What he's saying is, where's the covenant? If you're going to promise things to me, you got to make a covenant with me, because I understand that's the way the world works. And let me tell you this, nothing counts in the realm of God's eye but covenant. Huh? Look at your neighbor and say, nothing counts but covenant. Just tell them that. You know, guys used to come to me and they might like a girl in the church. And they would say, Pastor, I like this girl in the church, but there's another guy dating them. And would it be wrong for me to pursue her? They asked me that. And I say, well, let me ask you a question. Has that man made a covenant with that woman? Is there a ring on her finger? And they'd say, no. And I'd say, well, then they have no covenant. Nothing counts but covenant. If you're a big enough old boy to take that guy's girlfriend, you go for it right now, because nothing counts but a covenant. Somebody say amen to that. And, you know, people come up, they want me to pray for them as a couple when they're not married. I won't pray for them, because they're not a covenant unit yet. And God doesn't respect anything but covenant. You know how I got Jessie, young people, got her to date me back in the day? She had a guy that was pursuing her. She wasn't dating him. I'll tell you what, he wasn't as cool as me either. I'm just telling you, he wasn't as cool as me. And no, you're not taking this over. You get back, huh? You give me water? Thank you, love. So I went and I just told her, I said, hey, all your friends are dorks. You need to drop them and hang out with me, because there's no covenant. You just go after them. And so Abraham knew that. He said, if you hadn't made a covenant with me, it does not count. Amen? How do you know? And Abraham starts talking to him. Look back down at your text. Let's put it back up here. I want to show you young people how covenant's made. So he said this, how do I know I will inherit it? Verse 8. So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, a young pigeon. Bring all these animals, verse 10. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. They're bringing in the animals in a second, and we're going to start cutting them in two because it's a covenant night. Amen? Verse 11. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass, listen to this, young people, when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant. Everybody say covenants. Made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I've given this land. Come on, let's give the covenant-making, covenant-keeping God a big hand clap tonight. He's faithful. So God says, Abraham says, if you don't make a covenant, it doesn't count. Come on, young lady, young man, if you're not in covenant with a person, you better watch and not ever treat a person that you don't have a covenant with like you're in a covenant with them already. It's poison. Wait till there's covenant and there's blessing. Ignore the rule of covenant and you'll have peace and dis-ease. No peace and dis-ease in your life. Come on, somebody. So God says, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and here it goes. He comes down, and Abraham prepares these animals. He cuts them in two. There's blood that flows. Listen, whenever God comes down and creates a covenant, you know, blood always is symbolic of cleansing and purity in the Bible. That's what we're talking about tonight. You're making a vow or a covenant of purity. You know, the only way a person can ever really be pure is the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth has to flow over your soul, over your spirit, over your heart, over your mind, over your intellect, and over your body. That's where real purity comes from. How many of you know we can't be good enough little boys or girls to be pure before God? We need the blood of Jesus and the grace of God and the mercy of God to cleanse us, wash us, and help us, not just back when we got saved, but every day. How many of you agree with me we need an everyday cleansing? Come on, somebody give God a hand clap for an everyday cleansing of the blood. That's where purity comes from. Comes from the blood of Jesus. And young people, if you've messed up sexually before, I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you and wash you and make you brand new and take that sin and remove it as far as the east is from the west in your life. I'm telling you, he can make all things new in your life. You're looking at a guy that made a bazillion mistakes. I didn't get born again until I was about 21. And I began to see people around me. I got saved. And I watched, and the Christians around me lived different than my friends in the world lived around me. And there was such a difference between Jesse's friends, she had Christian friends back then, and my friends, that I didn't even know how to communicate to her friends. I was speaking a different language, living a different life. How many of y'all know what it's like when you first came in the church? You just didn't get it, right? Their young people did things I just did not understand, I didn't know, but there was something different about them from me. There was a purity about them that was next level. And Jesse, I'm going to brag on her right here. She really had, there's a power in purity. There really is. There's a power in purity that's attractive. And it draws people to, it's a drawing power. Now I'm telling you, Jesse had a purity about her I'd never been around back then. Or been so many years I couldn't remember it. And she was cute too. That helped draw me in a lot. But I'm saying that pure thing, that different thing, that set apart thing, it was attractive, and it drew me in. And I watched her. She'd made a covenant of purity already. As a matter of fact, God spoke to Jesse. She preached to the young people about this. God spoke to her, and this isn't a yoke that everybody has to wear or something that everybody has to do. That's not what we're preaching. But she decided that she wasn't going to kiss a man till she got married at the altar and said, I do. And when we started dating, the whole church already knew that. You know, there's a church of like, I don't know, 500, 600, 700 people back then. They all knew Jesse's business. And when I started dating her, then they knew my business. And they wanted to ask me about it, and I was a very private person. And these guys would come up and say, so you took a vow you weren't going to kiss anybody. And I'm like, I don't even know your name. Please get away from me right now, you know. Who are you? You're weird. Get out of here. And but she did it, and it changed things. And I watched it in her life. Now I went down, and I heard a man by the name of Ed Lewis Cole. It's like an old football coach kind of guy. And he'd call you out for everything you ever did. He's the kind of old man, he'd come in, he had an anointing and a power about him. Max has been in some Ed Cole meetings. He knew who he was. And he'd call you out about everything you did. About guys, you know, talking rough to their wives. And guys that were looking at stuff they shouldn't be looking at. How to be a man of honor. And I went to a meeting, I'm like a 21-year-old man. And Ed Cole's up there calling us out for everything. Calling us to sexual purity. That we wouldn't sleep or touch a woman till we got married. And I was there, and I watched the purity that's coming off Ed. He was an old man, a married man, but he had a purity about him like Jesse had. Same kind of spirit. What was it? It was the Holy Spirit had done a work in both of their lives. Made them holy, made them different. You know, the scripture said this. Paul wrote this to the church. He said, come out from amongst them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, the people of God are supposed to have a different level of purity in our life than the world has. We're supposed to look different than the world looks. We're supposed to talk different than the world talks. We're supposed to behave different than the world behaves. God wants a separated, different, Holy Spirit-baptized, purified church. He wants us not to look like the people we work with. He wants us to be different and separate. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Come on, let's give him a hand clap. He's purified us. He separated us. We're different than the world is. Amen? You're the salt of the earth. Come on, somebody. You're a city set upon a hill. You're different than the world. And that difference is what draws people to Jesus, right? If we look like everybody else, there's no power in the way we live. Whenever we allow God to transform us, that's what the blood does. This guy separates, he kills all these animals, it's a sacrifice. It's the way they made a covenant back then, thousands of years ago when Abraham lived. And they let the blood flow out there, and the blood would come between these two halves of animals. They called it the blood path. Then the power of God came. Listen, where there's purity, there's power. Where there's purity, there's power. Let me say it one more time. Where there's purity, there's power. Young people, there's a power that's going to be released to you tonight. Telling you, we believe in impartation. Whenever we lay our hands on you tonight and you take this vow before God, there's going to be a power. The power of God is going to come to empower you to fulfill the vow you've made. Come on, somebody. It's not in our own strength. It's in his strength. Power of God comes on Abraham. He's standing there. He's been driving off birds that were going to eat his sacrifice. There's gallons and gallons of blood. Power hits him. He falls out. And many scholars believe he falls out in the blood path. It's a symbol of a man covered in the blood of Jesus. And then God comes down and he starts promising things. I'm going to tell you, when you make a covenant with God, the power of God's on your life. There's a new purity on your life. And there's some promises for you. Now I'm telling you, the promise of God is if you'll do things God's way, God will step up and honor you. If you'll honor God with your lifestyle, I promise you God will honor you with lifting you and helping you and giving you what you need. And instead of having a substitute for the will of God, you'll get the will of God in life. That's what I believe the Spirit of God would promise to you young people tonight. He's promising if you'll take steps and you'll follow his ways, you'll put your foot in his path, you'll allow him to take your hand and lead you. If you'll see with his eyes and follow his plan for your life, there'll be a blessing and a purpose and a promise that won't fall to the ground, but it'll come to pass. And there'll be those around you that cannot succeed. It seems as though what they touch never works. Whatever they put their hand to, it falls to ashes. But the Spirit of the Lord says, what you touch when you do things my way, I'll put my hand on it. You put your hand on it, I'll put my hand on it. And I'll lift you, and I'll anoint you, and I'll exalt you. And you'll be different than the world around you. And people will see my mark and my hand and my favor and my voice and my grace on your life. Because I'm calling you to greatness today, says the Lord. You won't be subpar. You won't be average. The Spirit of God says if you'll do things his way, there'll be a greatness about your life. And that greatness will be discerned. That light will be seen from many miles away, says the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap. I'm telling you, there's promises coming for you, young people. There's purity. There's power. There's promises. And he falls out in the blood. God's promising him things now. Then after he's done promising, here's where the infinity symbol comes from. Y'all seen us do this many times. Come, Jesse, you always help me at this. It's all right. She came straight from the airport, barely got here. We had a mess. Come here, y'all give her a hand clap for making it here. Amen? You got to help me anyway. I won't do this bit with anybody else. So I'm in covenant with her, all right? This is what they do. Everybody did this whenever they cut a covenant back then, all right? God came down and did it with man, but this was par for the course when a covenant was made. That you'd stand before, two parties would stand facing each other, all right? And then the promises would be read of what they were promising. God was promising, God called out, and he said, listen, I'm going to give you descendants. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to drive out your enemies. And they make the covenant of strong friendship. How many of y'all have ever heard Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother? He's talking about this covenant, a covenant friend. In the ancient Near East is what he's talking about. So they call out the stipulations. They've cut the animals apart. The blood's everywhere. And then before they walk through the blood path, they'd bow to each other. Then they would start to walk. And one of them walk. They'd walk like a figure eight in the ground through the blood. They do it once. They stop. They turn. They bow again. There's witnesses. And then they walk like a figure eight. Can't hardly even do it. I got to watch her first. That's how uncoordinated I am, all right? And then you come around this way. And they'd call out the stipulations of the covenant. And they would say that I'm going to protect you if it costs me my life. I'm going to provide for you to the exhaustion of my resources. Young people, God's going to provide for you when you do life His way. You think you can't have fun doing life God's way? The world will tell you that. That you're going to be sitting home on Friday and Saturday night and everybody else is going to have a good time. I'm telling you, their good time will turn into hell on earth and your covenant lifestyle will turn into blessing. And God will provide for you the greatest life, the most incredible life that you could ever imagine. Come on, somebody, give him a hand clap. He's really going to provide these kids a great, incredible life. Said, I'll provide for you. After that, he said that you're going to become esteemed in a way that you would be higher than my own blood family, than my own flesh and blood. When they were covenant friends, they were covenant friends. It was next level, stronger than family. And then those animals on the ground are there as a testimony. What they were saying was this: if I break my end of the covenant, may I be as these dead animals on the ground. Strong promise, isn't it? If I break my end of the covenant, may I be as these dead animals on the ground. But it's interesting that Abraham never walks through the blood path in the story. He falls out in the blood. And God comes down in two manifestations, the Bible says. Comes down in like a pot, smoking pot or something. Not the kind of pot you buy in Colorado. It's a pot they cooked in way back then. Somebody say amen to that. You know, that kind of pot's not going to help us at all. Somebody say amen to that, right? And then he came down in a furnace. And I don't even know why. I don't even understand it, but that's how he came down. And God walks through the blood path once for his promise. He made a promise. And he walked through the blood path once for him. And Abraham's laid out in that blood. He's not even woke up. The Bible says the terror, the horror of the Lord comes on him. And this presence comes and knocks him down. Tell you what, God's power, it shows up. It can put you on the ground. Been there many times. Power of God so strong I can't move. Almost terrifying at times. The power came, knocked Abraham down. God comes down and he walks through the path once for himself. And then he goes over to the other side. And he walks through the path a second time for Abraham. What he was saying is, I know Abraham's going to make a vow that he won't be perfect at in every way, but I'm going to come and I'm going to walk through the path for him. And I'll always keep my end of the deal, but whenever Abraham messes up and flubs up his side of the deal, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to spill my blood for his sins to put him back together. I'm telling you what, God went through the blood path once for him. He's went through the blood path once for us, and now he's made our end of the covenant. He's taken the curse off of our life, and he's shown us how much he loves us. Come on, he's the kind of God that would die for you, spill his blood for you, and he's going to help you. Somebody say amen. Oh, Jesse, y'all give Jesse a hand clap. You can go be seated, baby. Thank you. You can stay if you want. You make the stage look better than I do. Way better. I'm a workhorse. She's more of a show horse. That's what I always say, huh? Oh, two different animals, right? Takes all kinds. Here's the deal. It's like this. God walked through the blood path for you. Some people won't ever make a commitment or a covenant because they say, I might break it. I might break it. I might break it. How many know none of us are 100% perfect all the time? But we're going to do the best we can. We're going to let God empower us. Amen? And if we flub up a little bit somewhere, I'm not saying big time. I'm not giving you a license. Come on, God's going to cover you, help you, lift you up, dust you off, and get your feet on the rock. Come on. Let's give God a hand clap. He's a restoring God. Amen? God's going to restore you. Listen, Jesse and I, after I got born again, I made that commitment. We kept that commitment. We stayed pure until we got married. It's one of the biggest blessings in my life. That's a blessing that I've had with me. And it's made our life stronger, our marriage stronger. It's made our family life stronger. And I'm telling you what, there'll be a strength released to you tonight that's going to be supernatural. God's going to help you. God's going to empower you. You're going to find the right person in the future. You're going to marry a Christian. Come on, somebody. You're going to marry somebody full of the Spirit of God. You're going to marry somebody that goes to church and cares about the things of God. You're going to do what the Word says. Keep your hands off everybody. Come on, somebody say amen. You're going to stay out of the back seat of the car. Come on, somebody. You're Going to leave each other alone in the movie theaters? Come on, somebody. You're not going to send weird pictures to one another at night? Games all change, parents, by the way. Cue you in. Huh? Used to, we had to climb in a backseat to get in trouble. You just got to climb on Snapchat to get in trouble now. Come on, somebody. Can I pastor for a moment or not? I'm going to say what I want. I'm the pastor. I'll say what I want tonight. I'm just saying our kids are going to be different from the world. How many of you kids agree with me on that? Young people, you agree with me. You're going to be different from the world. Got a hand clap. You're going to be different from the world. Amen. I want y'all to stand on your feet and come up here. We're going to take this covenant vow. Y'all make a straight line right in front of us. John's going to come. John's going to lead you in this covenant vow. Then we're going to lay hands on you. It's going to be awesome. Y'all make a straight line. Parents and church folk, just begin to stretch your hands towards them. Come on, we're looking at the next generation. Give them a hand clap as they come. So proud of them all. You did great tonight. You did great. All you young people on stage did great tonight singing. Proud of you. Y'all make some room for us to get in front of you right there. I'm telling you, I'm so proud of you. Jesse, you want to say something to him right now? Come on up here. Come on up here. Jesse's been teaching this topic for years to young people around the country and around the world.
I just want to encourage you guys. I was just sitting back there, and I got kind of teary about it because we started this program so many years ago, and every single year God's so faithful to challenge the hearts of young people in our youth ministry, and every single year the altar fills with young people that are saying that they want to live their life pure, that they want to live their life with God's help, that they want to do it God's way, that they don't want to just have their own will in their own way, but that they want to do it God's way. But I'm going to tell you the promise that God spoke to me when I was 15 years old, and I believe it's a promise for you just as much today as it was a promise for me. He said, Jesse, if you'll honor me in this, I will honor you and I will give you a platform. And many, many people will come to know Christ because of the example that I shine through your light. And I want you to know tonight, young people, that you're making this vow between you and God, but it goes further than just you, because the Bible says that you're to be an example of the believer in your words, in your conversation, in your charity, in your spirit, in your faith, in your purity, that your profiting might appear to everyone that sees you, and that they'll look at you and say, I want to serve the God that you serve. And so tonight, I want to tell you that you're not just making a vow between you and God, but you're making a proclamation with your life that the light of God would shine out of you, and it would be so attractional that some people might even think they're just attracted to you, but they're not. They're attracted to the purity and the commitment that you've made to God, and it's going to draw them in, and God's going to be able to do the same kind of things in their life and in heaven. There'll be a line of people that'll say, man, that vow you took, it changed me, and I know Jesus because you chose to stand up for him. And so I just want to tell you tonight how proud I am of you. I want you guys to know it's a special, special night, because I started this program probably 14, 13 years ago when we started the church. Little did I know that I would have a little girl that would be taking the vow one day, and this is her first year to say yes to Jesus about that. Y'all give Briley a hand clap just for me. I know it doesn't matter to you, but it matters to me. So I am excited tonight, because I believe that we're to be a generational church, one generation declaring to the next the wonderful works that God will do when we choose to obey. Amen. Amen.
I know one thing. I'm thankful to be a part of a church that came to speak on the hard topics, because if we don't teach the students the hard things, the world's not going to. The world came to teach us how to justify our sins, but the church has came to teach us how to overcome our sins, how to be beyond that, how to go past that. And I'm thankful. I told the students at the beginning of this, hey, I don't wake up in the morning and say, man, I really want to go to church and talk about sex. You know, just please put me in that position. It's awkward for me too, but I'm thankful to be a part of a house of God that came to teach the students how to overcome the world. You know, how to just not be a part of the world, but just be a step above it. And students, I'll say to you, what you're holding in your hands is symbolic. It's a certificate. It's a commitment. It's a piece of paper that says, hey, I'm committing to you, God. I'm committing that I will remain pure. But it is symbolic. God doesn't need that piece of paper. The piece of paper, God won't forget the covenant that you're about to make, but the piece of paper is that you remember, that you stay focused on what you're promising God today, because this isn't something to take lightly. This is saying, hey, God, I'm going to live your way. I'm going to live better than the world. I'm going to live pure, and I'm going to live your lifestyle. So if you guys would just, let's just place our hands over our hearts. I want to lead you in a vow. You can close your eyes and just repeat after me. Say, Father, I come before you. Not before my friends, not before my parents, but before you. And I make a vow that I'll keep my mind, I'll keep my flesh, and I'll keep my spirit pure. I declare that I'll live your lifestyle, your way. Give me the ears to hear your voice. Give me the discernment to know right from wrong. Lord, I abstain from any sexual sin. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord.